Now I want us to go to Matthew chapter 18, starting with verse 21 through verse 35, and I want to show you that God will send a tormenting spirit to torment you, and they are the ones that make you sick. They're the ones that afflict you. They're the ones that make you have a terrible bad day. These are the beings that God uses to discipline His people and everybody else. You know what my greatest enemy is? This piece of flesh that I live in. This beast. Unfortunately, you have one just like it. Yours wants to sin too, doesn't it? Yeah, everybody's does. But anyway, the king was filled with pity for him. But when the man left the king, he went to a fellow servant who owed him a few thousand dollars. He grabbed him by the throat and demanded instant payment. Now, this man had just been forgiven how many? Millions and billions of dollars. Billions. Can you imagine? I just been forgiven billions of dollars, and Tommy owes me $3,000, and I go up to him and say, grab him by the neck and start shaking him and growling and say, I want that $3,000 right this minute. He said, Thurman, I don't have it right now, but I'll have it next week. I'll give it to you next week. And I say, no, I will not forgive you. Throw him in jail till he can pay me that lousy $3,000. What a guy, huh? But that's what people do all the time in unforgiveness. Well, let's see what it says here. Next verse, 29-30. His fellow servant fell down before him and begged for a little more time. Be patient, and I will pay it, he pleaded. Now, did we hear that same story just a few minutes ago by the other guy? Yeah. Sure, he was begging too. But his creditor couldn't wait. He had the man arrested and jailed until the debt could be paid in full. He would not forgive. This whole thing's talking about unforgiveness. And this is what you and I are doing when we hold a grudge against somebody. I don't care what it is. Just any little thing that we got a grudge against them for. If we let grudges get in there and we hold a grudge, we are setting ourselves up for a fall and our mates for a fall and our children for a fall and our finances for a fall. I remember one time a man, he was a good member of the church, and he was very successful in business and multi-million dollar man, you know. I mean, he lived in a big, beautiful home, and he had beautiful cars, and they had money, everything it looked like that the world could want. And one day he came to me and said, Thurman, I don't know what's happening, but my whole empire is falling apart. He said, I went up to Oklahoma City the other day to check out one of my businesses, and they had embezzled thousands of dollars. I had to fire nearly the whole staff and start over. He said, I can't believe what's going on with all these good people that I've had working for me all these years and all this money that I'm making now that my empire is falling apart. He said, if this keeps going in another 6 months, I'm going to be totally bankrupt. I said, do you have an unforgiveness toward anybody? He said, are you kidding? He said, my partner, he's a thief. He said, of course I got to hate the guy I hate him. I said, there's your problem. He said, what do you mean? I said, you got to forgive that guy. I said, you have to forgive him. I said, if you don't forgive him, you're going to lose everything you got. And then as long as you hold that grudge, not only will you lose your financial empire, but then you will either lose your own health or it'll go to your wife or your children. And I said, it may wind up that not only do you lose your financial empire, but it may turn out that you lose your entire family through sickness and disease and death. I said, do you want that? He said, of course not. I said, then you forgive him. You tell him you love him. Tell him you're sorry you even thought about holding a grudge against him. I don't care how bad. I don't care how much he steals from you. You go over and tell him, I love you, and I'm just turning you over to Jesus. Let Jesus do his thing with you. And the man did that. And 6 months later, he came to me and said, Thurman, this is unbelievable. He said, I forgave that guy and walked in love with him and said, everything in my whole world has completely turned around. He said, I am back in such good shape. It's almost unbelievable. Why can we not believe these principles? Here they are they not? It's right there. He says, but his creditor wouldn't wait. He had the man arrested and jailed until the debt could be paid. Then let's go to verse 31, 32. When some of the other servants saw this, they were very upset. They went to the king and told him what had happened. Then the king called in the man he had forgiven and said, you evil servant. Now, I don't think I want to hear God call me an evil servant. Do you? Was this one of his sons he was talking to? This is one of his servants. And because he got into unforgiveness, he said, "You evil servant, you." I've read too many places in the Word where it says what happens to the evil. And they ain't none of them good, are they? Not none of them good. So I don't want to hear him call me evil. I mean, a lot of people call me a lot of things, but I don't want to hear my king say, "You evil servant, you." Absolutely not. I want to hear him say, "Well done, son." I don't want to hear this evil servant stuff. So then the king called in the man he had forgiven and said, "You evil servant, I forgave you that tremendous debt because you pleaded with me. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had mercy on you?" Then the angry king sent the man to prison until he had paid every penny he owed. And verse 35, "That's exactly what my heavenly Father will do to you if you refuse to forgive your brothers and sisters in your heart." Now I want to go back into King James. That was the NLT. I want to go back to about verse 30, 31 into King James, and I want to show you what it says in the King James. "But he would not, and he went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told the Lord all that was done." Verse 32 and 33. "Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, 'O you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you desired me to. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on your fellow servant, even as I had pity on you?'" Verse 34, 35. "And his Lord was angry and delivered him to the tormentors." Oh, I heard a groan over here. You didn't like that, huh? I tell you what, I've asked this question in churches all over this United States and even in other places in the world. Do you think God would turn you over to a devil? And you know what most people say? No, absolutely not. But that's not what his word says, is it? His word's pretty clear right there, isn't it? Let's read that one more time. "And his Lord was wroth," or angry, "and delivered him to the tormentors." You know, when I learned these principles, in fact, I had read these principles, but I didn't understand them. I was asked by a Baptist preacher one Sunday morning to come over Sunday afternoon after church and minister to a family that he had a dealing with. And this woman in this family, she had terrible back pains and everything, and she was just in pain. She had already been to the doctor several times. They'd done a hysterectomy on her, but nothing helped her problem. And so he wanted me to come and see what I could do. So I went over there, and when I got there, when I walked into the room, I met the husband and four boys. The big one was big as I was. I talked to those boys a minute, and then I talked to the dad a minute, and then I talked to the sister and the brother-in-law. And then I said, "Well, the woman I was going to deal with, where is she?" And they said, "Well, she's back there in the bedroom. She don't like to come out. She's back there with all the drapes pulled, the curtains down and everything, and she don't even like to get out in the light." What does that tell you? The darkness. She wants to be in the darkness because the darkness has control of her. Well, back in these days, I wasn't very well skilled in these areas, so I didn't know hardly how to deal with the situation. But I did know whenever I told them, I said, "We'll go back there and get her and bring her out." Well, they went back there and talked to her, and she said, "No, she wasn't coming out." So I said, "Okay, now I know we're dealing with a demon. I know that I have all power and authority over them, and I know they have to be subject to me. It is written in Luke 10, 19, and 20. So I took authority. I didn't pray. I just took authority. I said, "In the name of Jesus, I take authority over these spirits that are blinding her mind, and I command them not to do this." And I said, "Lord, when you send her husband and her sister in there, bring her out, set her down right here. I want to talk to her." And so I said, "Now go in there and get her. She'll come out." You have to do things in faith. So they went in and got her. And when they come through the doorway, kind of a big archway there, her husband's on one side of her, her sister's on the other side, and she's got real thick, heavy black hair. She's got her head down like this, and her hair's all hanging down in her face. And when they walk through that archway, this is what I heard. "I hate you. I mean, I'm going to hurt you. I don't want you in my home. I hate you." I said, "You know, any normal, good Southern Baptist deacon would have left." But I ain't normal. I ain't a good Southern Baptist deacon. So I ain't going nowhere. I know what I'm fighting against. It's the devil. I don't quite understand all I need to understand yet, but I know God's training me. So I told him, I said, "Set her down right there." So they set her down right there, and I knelt her down in front of her just like this. And I reached up to touch her hair like this. When I did, man, she hauled off and she slapped me. I had to grab her hand. I kept her from hitting me. I'm sitting there. She said, "I'm mean. I'm going to hurt you." I said, "No, you're not. I said, you devil of hell, you spirit of anger and rage, I command you to come out in the name of Jesus. And just as clear as a bell, she said, we have legal right to be here. We're not coming out. That was a pretty new one on me back in those days. I had never heard that before. I thought, wow. I said, so you have legal. I said, you don't have legal right, you devil of hell. I said, I know what Luke 10, 19 and 20 says. I want you to see this verse, and you have to understand that there's more to it than just what you see in Luke chapter 10, verse 19, 20. Jesus said, behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions. Now, that's the devil and his demons. If Jesus has given me power to tread on them, then how much power do I have? Technically speaking, you would think that was true. Scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you, notwithstanding in this rejoice not that these evil spirits have to be subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Now, technically speaking, I knew that verse extremely well, and I knew the power I had over them. But when I tell you to come out, when he says, we're not coming out, we have legal right to be here. Naturally, I would say, you're lying, Satan. You do not have legal right. He said, we do have legal right, and we are not coming out. So I commanded the devil to come out, and he laughed at me. He said, no, I have legal right to be here, and I am not coming out of her. I said, okay, God, you said in your word, you have given me all power and authority, so I want to know why this demon won't obey me. And he spoke to me clear. He said, he's not obeying you because I sent him there. Now, that was a new one on me. God sent the devil into this woman? I said, Lord, I must be misunderstanding you. Did I hear you say you sent this demon in? Now, is that what he said in that scripture a while ago? Is that what he said? If you don't forgive, I'll send a tormenting spirit to torment you. Is that what he said? Yeah. So he had sent this demon to torment this woman. And I said, Lord, you sent a demon to one of your daughters, or at least this person? I said, Lord, I don't understand that. I thought you were this loving, sweet, kind God. I never dreamed that you'd send a demon to torment her. I said, Lord, what happened? Why did you send it? Oh, he said, son, it's real simple. She has unforgiveness toward her first husband.
You have been listening to Thurman Scrivener of the Living Savior Ministries. We are going to stop our program here for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like today's broadcast in its entirety, entitled So Important to Forgive Everyone, or you would like any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's area code 940-242-2106. You can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.